Okay. My name is Charles Sterling. I've been at Microsoft for 25 years. 3 months of that, actually been the developer division working on Visual Studio and the .NET framework. I just recently learned an interesting statistic about 25-year veterans at Microsoft.
Yeah.
One out of every four of them are actually a millionaire. I also know that the other three of us are bitter about it. Joining me today is actually Martin Abbott. He's actually a Azure MVP out of Perth, who I actually co-opted last Tuesday, to come up on stage and give me a hand. He has no idea what the script is. Matter of fact, until about 15 minutes ago when I was walking with Adam Kogan, I didn't know what the script was. I looked at the Power Apps presentation that Darshan Desai did on my team, and he said that he actually built that computer application that you guys were looking at in 1 hour. He didn't show you building it, so we're gonna build that from scratch all the way. Right? Does that sound like a lot of fun? Almost all demos all the way through. If we've got time, we're going to have a branch. We're going to go out and take a look at how do you actually build Power Apps applications to SharePoint, or we can actually go out and take a look at Swagger files and build custom APIs. Again, we'll decide that when we get to that point.
Yep.
But let's go ahead and take a step back and talk about what is Power Apps. I've been around for a long time, as I just said. So I was around when Visual Basic 3 was actually shipped and delivered. The promise for Visual Basic 3 was to go out and enable non-developers or people without development backgrounds the ability to create applications. I was around in Access 2. The promise was that we would actually enable non-developers to create applications and business people to create applications. I was around when InfoPath shipped. You know what its promise was? There you go. Okay. So if you're curious about it, you can ask him. He understands. And then Lightswitch, once again. Power Apps is going to deliver on that promise. Adam was asking, why is it actually going to be this time? What's the case? First of all, there was actually a lot of discovery at that point about the application creation business itself or development tools. They were still growing. I think that's relatively mature. We figured it out. I think we're there. It's arrived. Also, the team that's done Power Apps is actually the team I was on in Visual Studio who was working on DevOps. You guys know what DevOps is? Yeah? Show of hand of DevOps. Okay, so the guy that knows what Lightswitch is or InfoPath, he knows what it is. It's about us pushing bits out to the servers on a regular cadence so it's available to people. This team went out and said, we could probably make that easier. So I don't have a lot of slides, and most of my blogging, you'll see that I'm actually a Power BI PM most of the time. I actually do cover Power Apps. You'll see blog posts on that and flow from me. But the question is why is it coming from this team? We talked about not needing developers. So once, right off the bat, going out and putting it in the group that delivers Power BI is a good start. Most of my customers who are actually doing big Power Apps applications are Power BI developers. And I use developers with air quotes because they're not coders. No. That's not their background. And if you think about the scenario, it makes perfect sense. These are the guys that did a report, and they're looking at this report, and DriveTime is a great example who I've been working with in Atlanta. They will go out and sell, they will go out to auction sites where they'll go out and sell 3,000 cars at an auction site, 3,000. Hmm. 3,000 cars all at once, and nice. They put like five buyers out there, and the Power BI guy is going to do a report that says we want to actually go out and bid on these cars. So he has reports of all the cars, and he can slice and dice it and look at it, and he has maps. And the first thing he goes out and does is says, I want to go in my Power BI, and I just want to toggle that when it's done or something we want to bid on. Right? How do you do that in Power BI? How do you actually go out and click on it and actually update your data and round-trip it back to the data source? He's nodding no, but he's in this session, so he's got a clue. He's in the right general direction. You use Power Apps.
Yeah.
Okay, so round-tripping back to the data source. Matter of fact, we're going to take a look at the data sources, and if it doesn't look like the exact same data set as Git data in Power BI, it's because we're just not quite there, but there will be. Git data in Power BI and your data sources and Power Apps are done by the same team. The gateway is done by the same team. So let's go ahead and take a look at it. I have slides. Do you guys want to look at the slides? Actually, we're looking at it. Do you want to look at more slides, or is that one okay? That one's fine? You're done with slides? Enough slides for the week? All right, let's go ahead and get Martin back behind the computer. Martin is actually going to walk through the creation of that computer app. The first thing I want Martin to do is open up my browser. It's the Internet Explorer browser, not the Chrome one. I want to show you at Microsoft how we actually order computers. So it knows that I'm a U.S. person. The guy who created this is a great guy. He's not a developer either. And this has been around for several years. I don't know how many years, at least since I've been back from Australia, which is 8 years. And the way you go out and you look at all the different devices that we have available to you, and you copy one out, looks like my user session is timed out, but that's okay. The important thing is the way you actually get your computer is you copy the information about it, and you email your admin. I swear to God, I'm not kidding. You email your admin. You know what she does? She raises a PO by hand, then emails procurement. What do those people do? They email the vendor to ship me a computer. What doesn't happen is I don't ever get a computer, is what never happens. So this is a case of the cobbler's children not having any shoes. This is what Darshan Desai said that he built in an hour. This is what we are going to build. He said he built it. He didn't show it. We're going to show it. So let's go ahead and toggle back to the authoring experience. Power Apps you can actually go out and do from the web experience. So we can actually create an application from the web experience. Or there's actually in the Microsoft Store the authoring experience for Power Apps. So if you have a computer, you can go into the Microsoft Store and you can find Power Apps. Which one do you want to use, Martin?
The Store one.
The Store one. Why do you want to use the Store one?
Because I like the Store one.
It's what?
Because I like the Store one.
You like the Store. Yeah, give them the real reason.
The web one's still in preview.
Still in preview?
Still in preview.
And what he's being really nice about, it's still rough, guys. There's functionality.
It's got some wrinkles.
There's functionality that's just missing.
Yeah.
We're going to show you how to wire up a flow. That's not available in the web app version. So you look confused. Are you okay? You got it? So web is a good thought. We're going to deliver on it. Not there yet. The Store version that we're looking at right now is actually the version that you want to go out and start doing with. I would just want to show you what some of these applications look like. So these are actually ones that are available on my tenant. Let's go ahead and look at the interview tool. By the way, I need to hire 7 developers. I don't know what the visa is getting into the States now with Trump, but if you are interested in becoming a Microsoft developer, talk to me after the session and we'll figure out if I can get you a hold of HR. So at the bottom of the list, second from the bottom, it says interview. I think you scrolled all over the place. Yeah, let's not click on any of the ones I created. It's about Donald Trump. Those probably aren't going to help me. Interview is down at the bottom now. It's the second from the bottom.
Second from the bottom, yeah. That one.
So go all the way up to the top. Okay. So now don't scroll anymore. Second from the bottom says interview.
There you go. Perfect. Gotcha. Right.
So again, this is not scripted. Woo-hoo. And the reason I have Martin do this is otherwise I go too fast and we're not going to have you follow what I'm doing.
And what's happening? Or open it?
Let's go ahead and click on that.
Author it or open it? Open it.
Right. So that's a great question. What did Martin just ask? Do we want to go ahead and take a look at the authoring experience or the editing experience? I didn't answer, so he clicked, which is good. That's good. And what the default experience is this is not a developer environment, so it actually brought it up in the player. In this case, this is actually a Windows Store player that it brought it up in, but the first players that we had were for Android and iOS and the tablet. This is actually a mobile web experience first, Windows after the fact. Again, very different than Lightswitch, very different than InfoPath, et cetera, et cetera. Click on any one of those. He's never seen this application, by the way.
First time.
And you can actually see that we're looking for a marketing lead in whatever group that is, and we can go out and take a look at Bethany's whether or not we want to hire, what people said. Pratap actually created this application, and I think he did it in a day because he was bored. I haven't used this one a whole lot. Let's go ahead and give Bethany some feedback. Do you like her? It looks like actually you're looking at somebody else's feedback. Okay.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
But you get the idea that I can go into Power BI, I can look at all my applications that actually are broken out by environments. I wasn't going to get into that, but they're actually broken out by environments. So you can ring fence it for different sets of data in different organizations, and you can put people in those environments. And again, this should be very simple to create. I just wanted to show you what it looks like. In addition to opening it directly from Power BI, I can send them a link to that web URL, which will actually launch it in this player. Additionally, there's something called AppSource, which is actually a store, but internal to your organization. So AppSource. Right now, if you go out and do a save, when we actually save, it'll actually publish it into the App Store. So actually, it'll publish it into your personal store if you haven't played with AppSource. Okay, let's go ahead and create this application. So let's go ahead and hit the escape key, hit exit. We're going to get out of this application that neither one of us has any idea what it does or how to use it. So
it's exciting, isn't it?
Huh?
It's exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting. And what we're going to go ahead and do is we're going to hit the new button. I love the fact that we changed it from all the way to the bottom. Do you remember it being at the bottom?
Yeah.
And this is actually going to be a blank app. We need some real estate, so we're going to choose the tablet layout.
Tablet, yeah.
And by the way, if I had created off of any of those templates, it creates you the canonical three-screen application. So you got the master, you have the master page, you have the detail page, and then you have your update and edit page. So it creates those pages with the navigation in between those had we chose those. So go ahead and choose tablet layout. Yes, please. And right off the bat, you get that kind of that blank screen. Again, that's not the default. Normally, you'd actually choose the data source, and it would actually walk you through a wizard environment. But since this is actually going to be looking at computers, it's a little bit different than a typical CRUD application. At this point, we're going to go ahead and actually choose the type of layout. I like this one here, the one that actually has that. Yeah, let's go ahead and choose that.
Yeah, cool.
And what that's going to do is it's going to give us a gallery, and it's going to give us some initial look and feel. The second thing that we want to do is actually set the data source for this application. So all the way up at the content, it's actually going to say data sources. And over here, we're going to say add data source. And the top one is actually going to say add static content. And again, I mentioned the fact that this list should look a lot like the Power BI list. They are going to be exactly the same. It's the same team that's creating those. We're going to choose that top one. It's asking us what data source we want to use. In this case, we're going to use that Excel file that's actually, this is kind of cool. It's already kind of wired up to the right place.
That one, then.
We're going to choose this one. This Excel file, as Adam was asking about, has two tabs in it, in that workbook, two tabs. Go ahead and choose open. And they are called? What happened? Oh, there we go. They're called machines and OEM. So those are the two tabs, or two tables if it were in a database. Let's go ahead and select both of those and choose connect. So we've now established the data source for our application. What we need to do is say, I want this gallery, that's this thing that we're looking at, to use that data source. This is kind of cool, right? So we're dragging and dropping, creating applications. Again, the promise made by VB3, and I think we actually delivered on it. So all the way at the top, it says items. We're going to leave it at items. And where it says image gallery sample over on the right. Go ahead and go back to items. Yeah. I see where it says image gallery in the formula bar.
Yeah.
We're going to erase where it says image gallery to the right. FX, perfect. Oh right there. Erase all of that.
Okay. Oh, this is where we're going to go to your script, is it? Cool.
Yeah. And you're going to type in M for machines.
M for machines.
Okay. For me as a Visual Basic developer, or that's where my background is, it's kind of weird that this has to be case sensitive. So I'm going to have Martin actually select a lot of these. I'm going to have him hit M and then select it, so that way he can't get the case wrong. But go ahead and choose machines. And what we're going to find out at this point is that it's going to go out and do a bunch of best guesses as to what were those fields aligned to. In this case, it does a pretty good job, not a great job. You'll see that it gives the highlighted line the amount of memory. So can you click on that 8 gigabyte DDR3? Perfect. And change memory to maybe name. I think name of the
name?
Computer would be good. That makes sense. That's a good one.
Yeah, cool.
Underneath of it is the manufacturer. Let's go ahead and click on that manufacturer if we can click in there. And instead of manufacturer, let's choose price. I want to know the price.
Yeah.
At Microsoft, they usually give you a limit for the devices you got. So we're going to go ahead and actually put whether or not you're in compliance or not as a visual cue. Rather than all in one at the bottom, let's change that one to processor type. I still have a dev background. I still want something with a decent processor.
Yeah.
So I'll be looking at i7. So that's good. Okay. At this point, let's go ahead and style this application up a little bit. Maybe app name, let's change that to Martin's app or whatever you guys want to call it. I'll leave that to you guys. No name. No name works for me. Is that good for you guys?
I'm getting there. Let me just go to text.
Okay.
Text.
So,
Karen's talking. Ah. Can't click. It's not my mouse. Default. Where are you?
I think the text is gone. It was deleted.
No, it's okay. We're going to go without it.
What we're going to do is on the insert menu, all good applications say hello and your name.
Yeah.
Control Z will actually get that back, but that's okay. We're going to go without it.
Okay.
Under insert, we're going to go ahead and add text. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. I deleted the actual text box. That was clever of me.
Bless you. Okay, perfect. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and add a text box. You see it on the menu there?
Yeah.
And we're going to, that one's perfect. And we're going to click that, and you're going to actually drag it to the right, and we're going to set that one equal to whoever happens to be using this computer or using this application. So where it says to text, maybe it'll say good day, mate, inside the quotes. Can you write good day, yeah, mate, inside the quotes for me?
What do you want to change that to?
Good day, mate, or hello, or hi.
We'll,
how you doing?
We'll start on message, shall we?
Very good.
G'day.
A colon and a space. That way it's not butted up against the thing that we're going to add. A colon and a space. Perfect. Outside the quotes, we're going to give it an ampersand.
Yeah.
And there's a property called user. U-S and open parentheses, dot or full stop. I keep asking people, is it a dot or a full stop here? Period. There you go. Neither of those. Yeah. And we're going to go ahead and use full name.
Done.
Okay. Hit enter and stretch
that
out.
A little bit bigger. Yeah.
Okay. I believe to change the font color, which we probably want to do, where it says text over on the left-hand side, let's hit that drop-down and yeah, it's color. So the property for this particular control is called color. Usually at this time, I get the question, what language is he typing in? Do you know what language this is or what we're doing here? Somebody said yep. Who said yep? Outside voice. M. No, it's not M. Yeah, it's an interesting guess. I was going to say a good guess, but it's more an interesting guess. So M is our querying language for how you create data sets. Actually, it has no language. And what we did was in every case, we took a look at Excel and figured out what they did after their equal sign. If they don't have one, we took inspiration from Excel. So it should look like stuff that you would put into Excel after your equal sign. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Why did we do that? You have to go back to who we're targeting. We're actually targeting those BI developers. So we wanted to use Excel. So Excel, if it had a name. Okay, under color, get rid of all of that and type in gray.
Gray, okay.
I think it's cute that we use the RGB colors and we put those 255, but they have these, not dim gray, just gray. Just gray. Dim gray is an option. I didn't even, what color is dim gray?
It's not good. It's a bit dark.
Okay.
Yeah, gray.
So again, color names are something that VBA and Excel has. At this point, we're looking at all of those computers, and there's a lot of those stretched way, way, way out forever. So we probably want to go ahead and actually start slicing those out, just like you saw actually on that website. So what we're going to do is we're going to drag that whole gallery, which you've already done, and look, can we resize it to one side or the other, either get it to the left or the right?
Yes,
I don't care. About that. Oh, not quite that much. Perfect.
Two.
Perfect. And we're going to go out, and in that space that Martin just gave us, we're going to put all of the manufacturers of computers. And when you click on it, we're actually going to only see those manufacturers. Good? So he understands. Oh, Blue Guy's got it too, so that's good. So you're going to go back to the insert menu, Martin, and there's something called galleries, and there should be one called, I believe it's called vertical with caption.
Yeah.
Perfect. And where do you think I want that?
I'm going to say you probably want it about there.
Great. And where it says items, that's our data source. I don't know why we didn't call it data source. I wish I was in that meeting, but I would have called it data source. We're going to erase all of that. Do you remember what those two tables were in the Excel file that we brought in? Machines and OEMs, somebody said. I think it's called OEMs.
OEMs.
These guys are paying attention better than us. And then select that one and hit enter. Okay, it didn't do nearly as good a job this time for us. It guessed badly, but that's okay. Let's go ahead and select that image of the building that is an Acer. Perfect. Yep. Instead of HQ, I think there's a logo that's dropped down. By the way, these are not logos in that Excel file. Anybody know what they are? They're URLs. And the way he knows this is because the one underneath of it is actually the URL that's being referenced. Okay, perfect. If you can go ahead and grab that Acer and resize it up and smaller. It's just kind of, from the bottom. Grab that bottom stretchy thing.
Do you want to full screen?
And I said bottom, and he went right to the bottom. And let's help you out.
Which one?
Click on Acer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you want to grab that one, yeah, and then shrink it up.
Shrink it. Gotcha.
There you go, mate.
That's
okay. The one that's in text, the black one, let's not get the URL. let's put the MFR manufacturer or something like that, MFR.
Yeah, gotcha. Move that up.
Yeah, that looks good, huh? Now what we need to do is we need to wire that gallery to this gallery, just like Darshan did at Ignite. Yeah? The way you do that is, remember how we actually set the data source for this gallery equal to machines? We're actually going to put a filter on it to say, I want you to look at that other gallery. Now, I cheated a little bit because I didn't want Martin having to type a little bit. I didn't sign him up to actually do that. So he's going to hit Alt-Tab and find a Notepad file that I already have open on my desktop. Should be down...
Oh, where is it?
There. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. And in here, all the way at the top, it should say, filter machines gallery 1.selected MFR equals MFR or something like that. Copy that line. Does that kind of make sense what's happening? So there's a manufacturer in both of those workbooks, and we're going to go ahead and do a join on those in code. And if you paste that in into the items formula bar for that gallery on the right.
This one?
Yep, perfect. Yep. And what he's doing pretty good is actually, and I tend to struggle with, he knows that the gallery is the big box, and there's a gutter with smaller controls. It seems to want to select those. So he's doing a pretty good job with that. And if you hit enter at this point, we should be good. Another nice thing about Power Apps that I didn't talk about, this is a live development environment. I don't know if there's any others that I've ever run into. This is live. So if he selects, you know, I love Lenovo. I'm a huge Lenovo fan, as you can see from my X1 with the Australian flag. If you scroll down on the manufacturers, scroll down and you got horizontal. So just keep going down. You can find my favorite company and go click on Lenovo.
Lenovo.
And you're only going to see the best laptops in the world right there. And Microsoft, I meant. But okay. So we've got these wired up. Now what we want to do, just like I showed you on the web app, or actually as Martin showed you on the web app, we want you to be able to select the app, the laptops that you are interested in, and maybe put them in a different screen so you can start comparing them directly. Does that make sense? Okay. So we're going to actually go ahead and select the big gallery on the right.
Yep.
And you're going to hit that editing little pencil up at the top.
It's an icon here, yeah.
And now we can actually drill into each of those gutters inside of there. And in the insert menu, we're going to go ahead and go to controls, and there's a checkbox. We're going to add a checkbox underneath the controls.
Yep.
And we're going to put that down maybe underneath of Intel Core 5.
Yep.
Perfect. And change the word option. Can you change that to compare or select or...
Yeah.
I'll let Martin decide what he's going to call it. Is this pretty cool so far, guys? Yeah, I love playing with this stuff. And wait till you get to the flow section when you start wiring up the flows. Okay. At this point, we're going to go ahead and add it to a collection. I'm going to check that checkbox, and I'm going to add it to a collection. But again, there's a lot of magic in some of these tools. I want to show you that I'm not doing it, or we didn't start with anything prepped. So if I could go ahead and get Martin to go to the content and click on collections. Perfect. He's already there. There is no collection yet. We didn't create one. We're not going to create one. But we're going to reference one. So I'm going to have him Alt-Tab back to that Notepad file. And it's going to say something like on check, collect, compare list. So I want you to grab that collect. Oh, not the whole thing. Just after the arrow that points to the right.
This one? That one? Oh, just that. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. So grab that. And go ahead and on the select or on the on check of the checkbox, paste that in for me. Perfect. Hit enter. And go ahead and check a couple of these computers.
Oops.
Oh. You have to click it twice to actually activate it. So while I say it's live, there's an editing experience. It's the first click. The second click will actually activate whatever its default properties are. And now if we go ahead and go back to content and collections, again, not putting anything up my sleeves, you actually should see all this stuff that we've actually already added to this collection. By the way, Martin will pause at any point if you guys want to applaud. He's like that. So anyways, well done. Let's go ahead and grab the uncheck, because right now all we're doing is adding them. We have no way of removing them, because I think all he's added is Microsoft computers. Obviously, we want the Lenovo's, the ones that need to be there. So let's go ahead and grab that, go to the on and uncheck, and put that there. By the way, I'm going to put this up on my blog, guys. So it's going to be the recording, but we'll also put it on a blog. and then paste the other one in there. So now when we check it, adds it, uncheck it, removes it. Makes sense. Okay. So where are we at? We are looking at a page. We've selected stuff. We can slice it. We probably want to go ahead and view those ones that we got in that collection. The easiest way I think I found to do this is to reuse this form. Over in that little thumbnail, all the way on the left, there is a black column next to the thumbnail all the way to the left.
Oh, you see that?
Even further left, there's a little thumbnail of our screen. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And those three dots, one of them says duplicate screen.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Okay. Now what we're going to do is you're going to change that big gallery to not use that crazy filter argument. See where it says filter? Oh, you were there. See where it says filter a second ago?
Yeah, hang on. Yeah.
Perfect. Erase all of that and start typing the word compare. C-O-M-P.
Did you?
C-O-M-P.
C-O-M.
C-O-M. It'd be nice if they had that whole
compare list. Yeah.
Type in an error. I think Bronwyn was showing that. It'd be nice. And if you hit enter, what we should see are only those computers that were in his collection.
Great.
Let's go ahead and get rid of the manufacturer's gallery. We don't need that anymore because we're beyond that. Hit delete and resize that thing to stretch it out and see how many computers we have. Perfect. Okay. I'm going to need a little bit of room on the bottom of this one and the one before it, but we'll start here. At the bottom of this one, stretch it up. Perfect. Oh, we lost our compare. That's okay. We didn't use the compares here. Now we're not using them, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Underneath of that gallery, we're going to add a button that says purchase, buy now, get, steal, whatever the word is you want to use. So we're going to go to insert. We're going to go out and say button under the insert menu. I think insert button is right at the
top. You don't want it in the gallery? It's going to be underneath
of it on the screen. Yeah. And button.
Yeah.
And we're going to drag that off there. I love how it has a blue title and everything has a blue background, so you just lose those controls. They're just gone. I was just playing with this with Adam, and we lost, I don't know, a couple hundred controls in that blue bar. Maybe not a couple hundred, but we definitely had troubles finding them. And then in this blue button, we're going to change that text to say buy me or buy computer.
Yep.
And we'll go back and fix up the other screen to get to this screen. But we needed to have a place to go to have the navigation work. Okay, perfect. Now, what do we need to do here? Probably give you a visual cue as to which one you selected. Right now we have those checkboxes, but I don't want you checking them and buying two computers. That's not what we want. So what I'd like you to do is click inside that gallery, perfect, inside of it to one of those computers, and you'll actually select, perfect. Underneath of the property dropdown for that gallery itself, where it says items.
Here. Yep.
There should be something called template fill.
There, yeah.
So what it's saying is, what do you want to fill this with? And it takes an RGB argument. At what point? So I'm going to have them alt-tab back to my little notepad. And there's actually going to say template fill at the very bottom. And grab everything the if, after the if.
Yep, okay.
You see what this is doing? It's going out, and if it's actually selected, it's making it green, and if it's not, it's making it white. Go ahead and hit enter, and it looks like he had that Surface RT selected, or is the one. If we go ahead and click on the one to the left, and click on it one more time.
Yep.
Oh, there we go. It actually is making it. So we actually will now then go out and order it. Now, before we hit the purchase one, we're going to actually do that with a flow. We're going to go back to the other form. We're actually going to do some more work here. Okay, now that we're here, we're going to do some more work here. What we need here is a button at the bottom, just like there. So we're going to resize this a little bit smaller. And that one's going to go out and say compare, and we're going to navigate to that other screen. So insert another button for me. Drag it down. And on the on select, we're going to go out and type in navigate. N-A-V.
Yep.
And select that. And it takes two arguments. And it's actually saying that you have this many screens. This is where I can navigate you to. We want to take the bottom one. That's the bottom one. It's the one that we actually just created with that duplicate. Perfect. And then it actually takes two parameters. So we're going to add a comma.
Which one do you want?
And choose any one you want.
Oh.
This is Martin's choice.
Yeah, let's do a fade.
That, and I have no idea what they are. I've never played with, I think I've always played with the top one. Okay. So when I click on this button, what do you think that's going to do? There you go. It's going to take us to this screen. Let's do one other thing. Let's change the text on this button. Yeah. And we're going to go back to that cheat sheet. Perfect. So Alt-Tab back to that cheat sheet. And in here, we actually should have something that goes out and says text and then compare by count rows. And it uses that compare list. Remember where we got the compare list? By referencing it on the onSelect. Pretty cool, huh?
Hmm.
Now, I've been pasting in this. Would you guys call those as lines of code? It's always interesting is how many lines of code have we written so far? We've set a couple properties. Some of them would have taken a little bit of discovery. So is that 0 or is that 5? But it's not a lot. It's fit in a notepad so far. I think we're good at this point. We just need to go out and wire up the ordering. And actually, we need to have the user on the ordering as well. So we need to know who's going to pay for this and who approves it is all we have to do. By the way, we've looked at it so far in the editing experience. I don't think Martin's actually hit the player. Up in the upper right-hand corner, we can go ahead and put this in the player in that play mode, just like when he opened up that HR application. So that's actually the interactive mode or what your people look like. Let's go ahead and choose my Lenovos, add a bunch of those into the cart, and select a couple of these. And what we should see is when we hit that compare, it should take us to that second screen. And we can now go out and select one of these, and it should highlight it. Now, we're not using that select at the bottom, but what we want to do is implement the purchase and who's going to pay. Pretty cool stuff. I like playing with this stuff. Okay, let's go ahead and hit Escape, get out of the editor.
Yep.
And what we're going to do is we're going to move that button over a little bit. We're going to give us some real estate to the left or right of it. Is that your choice?
Let's shrink it up.
And we're going to add another text box. Actually, we're going to add a text input and a text box both. So under Insert, you're going to add text box, drag it all the way to the bottom, and under back to Insert, over on the right there's a text, and we're going to choose text input. And you're going to put that one to the right of the one that you just put. So you may need that button a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Okay. That first text box that you added there for me?
Yeah.
Let's call that one Approver. Dude, that pays. Okay. In that second one, default's going to be get rid of all of this, including the quotes. Type in User. Remember that User we used a couple seconds ago? After he types in User and he hit the full stop, period, one of those was Email. So let's go ahead and choose Email.
Which one do you want?
Email is the top one.
Email, gotcha. All right. Yep.
Okay, and my image actually would have came in too. So when we hit the purchase button, we're going to go ahead and build the guy that's in there. Now, typically what you would do is you'd actually use your Office 365 user, and you'd probably go out and not use my email address, but you would say office365.manager or office365user.manager and bring up my manager to put in there. But in this case, I don't have the AD wired up with managers and whatnot. So we'll just use me. Okay, I promised you that we were going to implement this with Flow. You ready to actually create a Flow and actually get this all wired up? Oh my God, yes, Chuck, you are between us and beer.
Exciting stuff. Exciting stuff.
So let's go ahead, click on the purchase button. Let's go ahead and under actions, there is a little rocket ship that says Flow. Now, I created this a little while ago. We could have used one of those, but we're going to create a brand new one because you guys deserve the extra dollar here. And we're going to choose the bottom that says create new flow. This is going to take us into the web experience because Flow only has a web experience. And the first thing, as John Law was talking about, who was just in the session before me, the first thing it wants is how are you going to initiate this flow? I do a lot of stuff in Power BI, so I would probably use Power BI and you set it with an alert. I do a lot of tweeting. I could go out and say, when a Twitter comes to me, go out and kick off a flow. There are lots of things that you could actually initiate. In this case, what have we been playing with for the last 5 days in this session? Beardy, you left me. You left me hanging, buddy. He's looking at his Kindle, too. What have we been playing with?
There's a clue.
Power Apps is what we've been playing with. So go ahead and type in Power Apps. And we're going to choose Power Apps. So select that Power Apps. Perfect. So what it says here is when you have an action in a Power Apps application, initiate this flow. I'm going to show you how to wire it up directly in a second. Actually, you already know because we had that button clicked on, and we're going to select one of those, and that wires it up, just like a function call. Okay, the new step, we're going to add an action. This action in this case is approver, so type in approver for me. Approver.
Do you want that?
Yes, send approval. That was perfect.
Approval email?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I think it takes two arguments.
Yeah.
It just takes one, but we're going to give it two. So go ahead and click in there. And what we need to do is we need to tell Power Apps what we typed in there, right, in case we type something over top of it. So we're going to go ahead and click the one that says ask in Power Apps. And that supplies that argument or actually requires that as a parameter. Where it says subject and approver, can you put the caret in above the A in approver? So put your pointer or your cursor, caret is what it's called, and then go ahead and click in ask in Power Apps again.
Oh, so get rid of that and put in ask in Power Apps?
Keep that.
Okay.
And then put your cursor right where I had it. Perfect. And absolutely perfect. So what it's going to do is it's going to send email to the guy that is typed in, and he's going to get a reprover request for a computer. It's going to go out and give you the computer, or actually whatever we supply it. But we're going to supply it that computer. Yeah? Okay. One more step. Let's actually add a new step. See where it says new step at the bottom?
Yep.
New step. A little bit further
new
down.
Step, right?
Perfect. Add action. And this one's going to be send email. So this is going to send email to the vendor. Okay. And you should be able to just say email and say create send email. Perfect. And the two, the vendor that we always use, of course, is Solid Trace. What's the name of your company again?
Satellist.
Sassix. We always use that Sassix in all cases for everything to supplying hardware.
Thank you. Type
in your email address. All of this email is going to come to you.
Awesome.
And I'll share this out so everybody in the audience will be sending you an email too. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
No, hang on. A Novo keyboard.
You didn't start in the beer already, did you?
No, it's...
You haven't had enough.
That's coming later. Yep.
Okay. Once again, you know that we could have asked this in Power Apps and passed in this again, or we could have actually pulled it back from an action before. So a lot of actions will actually supply data back as something that you can use further on. Okay. In this case, it will be the subject is going to be please order, and then you're going to say send approval subject, which is the second one down on the right-hand side.
Yep.
Right? All the way at the top, it says entitled. We're going to call this one Martin Abbott, where it says untitled, all the way at the very top. Keep up,
always
up,
the very top.
Up.
Where?
It's all the way up here. You know, Adam had a tough time finding it too, and actually, I must admit, I did too.
What search? Where?
Where it says untitled, just to down a little bit.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that's tough to find, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Did you guys see it? How many? By a show of hands, how many people actually found it?
It's just
me, we feel like idiots.
Then. Just me then. Yeah, okay. That's
fine. No, I did too. And so did Adam. I know Adam had a tough time.
Just
type
Adam.
In your name or Adam's name or somebody's name.
Yeah.
Something that we can find. Approved purchase. Okay. Why don't we say QLD? I may have something that looks vaguely familiar to that. So I want something that's unique to this room that we'll know that's there.
So do you want
QLD or WA or just something that's going to be unique to right now. Ignite. I don't think I have anything called Ignite.
Yeah.
But I might have something called Approved Purchase. Now, I'm not looking at collisions. I just want to make sure that you guys see that it wasn't something that was created before. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and hit Create Flow. And definition invalid parameters. What's the matter? Oh, include a body. So go ahead and grab that that same approval subject, that one, and click that. Okay, good enough.
Good.
Okay, now hit Create Flow. Alt-tab back to the authoring experience for Power Apps. And in this list, we should actually find something called Approval Flow QLD Ignite, whatever it is.
Look
is that,
that
the one? Okay. Let's add that. Over where it says Purchase, go ahead and it says Adding. See where it says Purchase? What did that just change it to? It just changed it to the flow name, open parentheses, and it's prompting you with the parameter list. In this case, it's just two. So the first one that it wants is the
this down here, right?
The email. So we're going to go ahead and call it text input one. So oh. Text input, start typing in text, input, and that one, dot yep. Text, period text. Perfect. Okay, and the second parameter, it's looking for, oh, the message. So we want to use the name of that visual that we use. It's called template gallery something. So type in TEM, it's the one at the bottom.
It says.
How do I know it's the one at the bottom? Because the first one was the one we added, then we made a copy of the form, so added a new one. And then dot selected, right? So we want the thing that's in the green, dot, or period, sorry, sir, period. Why did it not give us a drop-down?
We have to.
Oh, it did. I'm just not seeing it. And we're going to choose the name, or memory, or price, or whatever you want to add.
Anything?
And then close parentheses. Okay, at this point, let's put it in the player. And we didn't put a back arrow, but we can add back arrows. You know how to do that, it's navigate. There is a back function that makes sense if you have lots of screens and you don't know where they're gonna come back and forth with. In this case, I would recommend using navigate instead of back. Let's go ahead and select one of those. Oh, you got back somehow. I don't know how you did it. Go ahead and select ThinkPad 230, a great machine if you haven't used it. It's only about this big. And go ahead and hit purchase. Who's paying for this, by the way? Not much. Okay, I'll tab back to Chrome. I think I have this mailbox open. Charles Sterling, it's the third tab in on either side.
Yeah.
What we should see is a ThinkPad X230 from right now at midnight. And I could approve or reject it. If I reject it, it's not going to go to Martin's email. If I approve it, it will go to him, and he actually couldn't see it at this point. So, as Darshan Desai promised in the U.S. Ignite session, he built an entire application for ordering computers that displayed them, sliced them, was able to compare them, and actually go through an entire flow. I delivered on that promise in this session. At this point, we have a branch. Is that pretty cool, guys? Did you like that? How are we doing on time? Okay. At this point, we have a branch. We could take a look at, I just bound to an Excel. We could bind to a SharePoint list and actually show you how you would write an evaluation application.
Yeah.
Or we could take a look at how you would actually call a custom API. I would suggest the SharePoint one because John actually covered that in his, yeah, okay. So I've got a couple heads nodding that they want to see you rock and roll on the SharePoint stuff.
Okay, we can do that.
So is it okay if I go grab a beer? Because
yeah, exactly.
Bring
right.
some back.
Yeah, exactly right. So I'm going to go into my tenant because it's different. So I'm going to go to office.com. Sign you out.
That's not disturbing, is it?
No, not at all. It's not off-putting in the slightest. Ooh, look at that.
I told you my day job's Power BI. Is it okay if I give a couple of these out?
What is going on there?
So, Adam helped me actually earlier. I got to give one to Adam.
Do things
Thanks,
lovely.
Man. Beardy, I don't know your name, I didn't catch your name, but you've actually been there for me too. And blue shirt, right here. I think these are big boy sizes. That one's not a big boy size. I think this one is. If not, you're going to have to find yourself a girlfriend. While Martin's actually getting logged in, getting me actually out of these instances, are there any questions about Power Apps, Flow, or Power BI? My session on Power BI is on Friday morning, and we're going to go through the developer experiences. How do you actually wire up things like Flow? Specifically, how do you put your Power BI application into a web app? I'm going to take a look at that for, it's going to seem like a year, but it's only going to be an hour. You right here. So the question is, are there any plans for allowing external users? There are user stories for it, but it's not in the immediate term. What's your name?
George.
What George is saying is that when we went out and chose open, I saw this list of applications. It was only people in my tenant that could access this. And it's smaller than that. It's people that have been granted access to that environment in that tenant. So if I wanted to give access to Blue Shirt or Beard Guy, I would have to go out and put them in. Now, it is enabled through B2B collaboration. So if I trusted them enough to add them into my directory, I could give them access that way. But what I would like to do, and I'm sure this is the scenario he's got, I would love to go out and say, okay, what I want you to do is take a look at this application. It's ak.ms, Ignite app. I can't do that yet. So not in the next 6 months. Now, with AppSource, I can share the application to you, and you guys put it into your tenant, still only enabled for sharing with your folks. Right? Does that make sense? So you can have the application, I can give it to you, then you actually install it, and they can run it. Flow does not have that limitation. I can actually log into Flow as an external user and interact with it. Great question, and it's not the first time I've asked it. I do have a T-shirt.
Cheeky. I'll give him that. Cheeky. It's nice.
You ready to go? And I also have magnet bottle openers with Power BI. So there's no metal here, but you're going to have to trust me that they are magnets. All right. Here you go. Are you ready to go, or do you want to keep going?
Yeah, pretty much there, yeah.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, pretty much that, yeah.
Okay, so Martin's going to show us bonding to SharePoint. The reason he's doing the SharePoint, and I actually got the Excel one, he lost the coin toss.
It's a true story. So this is going to be a pretty short one, I think, because it's really just about showing how easy it is, I suppose. So I created a little while ago a new SharePoint site here. What I've got is I've got an evaluations list, which is where my data is going to go. I've also got a courses list. So I'm going to use this to look up some information, right? So as I can create more than one thing. So you can see there's three courses: Hack Yourself, Azure Yourself, Architect Yourself. Not very interesting names. If I go to my evaluations list, and just have a quick look at that, we can see here that course code on that list is a lookup from that previous table, but title isn't. So I'm going to have to find a way of wiring up the title to get it from that other list. So that's quite an interesting thing to do. And then the other stuff is a bunch of numbers that we'll just use. So anyway, we'll go back here, and there's absolutely no data in there at the moment. And you see there's Power Apps at the top.
Okay, we're going to stop for a second. So this isn't something he had to add. Nah. For all Office 365 instances of SharePoint now, you are all going to see Power Apps.
It's just there.
Something that was added in November 24th. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you carry on. So I click that, create an app. This all seems very straightforward, doesn't it? So I'm going to create something called, I don't know, course evaluations, create. And what this is doing now is it's going away and actually creating it in the web design experience. So once it's finished doing its job, I'll close that out and I'll go actually into the Windows 10 design app, because as we mentioned earlier on, this is still a preview. So this is going to go away and just create that standard vanilla three-screen application that has a search screen, it has a detail screen, and it has an edit and add screen. So they're the three screens that you normally get for an app. And you can see it's just going away, so we're at the mercy of the internet connection. So this will just take a few seconds. And whilst it's doing that, I'll just quickly show that once I've wired this up in a little while. So there's my mailbox, doesn't have anything in it, just to prove there's no smoke and mirrors. Savings Power Apps, and there we are. So that's done. So skip that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in here and I'm going to close that, because, as I mentioned.
You know why it says that to us? Because he's never watched it. He keeps hitting skip. We are going to get him to watch it at some point.
So if we go back to here, excuse me, click a refresh. Fingers crossed, we should see course evaluations. Okay. So if I click this little pencil here to go into the edit mode, just downloads it, and then it'll open up in edit mode. And I can run this straight now, right away. I can click up here, and I can run, and I can start adding some information. But I don't like the look of that. I think it looks a bit Not good. And we also know that if you remember from that list, I had course code and title. Title was a required field, I don't know if you noticed that, but it wasn't fed from the lookup. So what I need to do is I need to wire the course code lookup to go and get the title from the course code list. Right? So currently you'll see on the right-hand side here, the data source says evaluations. And in much the same way as we did in Chuck's demo, I'm going to go up to content, data sources, and I'm going to add. And this is where I just need to go back to my SharePoint site. This is just a little artifact of the way that the fact that it's not been fully built yet. So I'll just close that out and just go back to my all items, and it's there. And just interesting, actually, whilst we're there, you'll notice that course evaluations pops up on that items list there. So that's how you can go directly through your SharePoint list and launch that Power App directly from SharePoint. Because remember, it's basically a web app, so it just launches directly in a browser. So what we'll do is we'll just go back to here, and we'll just quickly grab that URL. Because if we go in here and we say, I want to add a SharePoint list, we need to give it the URL. So obviously, we've already added evaluations, so I'm going to add courses. Connect. Done. Very easy. I'm going to just very quickly change the order of these things, because I think it's quite an interesting little thing to do, because when we were looking at the presentation or the previous app, I think we saw the various things that we could add. But I thought it'd be nice to show how easy it is just to muck around with the layout of this, actually. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to put this up here. Maybe I'm going to put speaker there. So I've changed the order. Very, very simple. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to do the same on this page. Title up there. Course code. And speaker. Now, I need to wire the title up from the courses list, the data source. So how do I do that? Well, I know that what I want this text box to be, so if I click that, we can go into the advanced section here. And I'm going to fritz around with this a little bit because my OCD plays into this and I don't like the colors. So if I unlock to change the properties, what I want to do is I want to make sure that when the person selects the course code, they can't actually update the title. I'll just drag that in and I don't want them to update it. So I'm going to change the property of that to true for disabled. And I don't like those colors. Like I said, it messes with my OCD, so I'm going to make it white. So I'm just going to grab that because it's just right there and it's easier. So now what I need to do is say that when I need to get the value of the title from the lookup to put into that box. So how do I do that? Well, if I select that, we'll go into parent defaults, which I'm going to get rid of. And now I'm going to use a different command. We used filter before. There's filter, search, and lookup. They tend to be the ones that you use to play around with data sources. I'm going to use lookup. Now, I know my data source is called courses. I'm going to choose course code because that's the thing I'm going to compare against. And then I need to tell it where to get that course code to compare against it. I happen to know that that's data card value 9. I may have done this before. When I click that, it's asking me what I want to choose. It's a select box, so I'm going to choose selected and the value from that selected checkbox. If I click put in a comma, I still need to give it another parameter because what this is doing a lookup against a piece of data, and I need to tell it what piece of information from the data set, the data source, to put in that box. So we can see here, we can see author, content, code. What I want to do is put in title because that's the thing that's in that other list. So there you go, so that's done. So if I just go in here now and I just start this up, I go add an evaluation, you can see it's not highlighted. When I click select, it brings back the data from the lookup. So there's three of those. If I choose Azure yourself. So that's wired it up and it's brought that data back through. Okay. I happen to know that the content, didn't change the speaker direction, but let's put speaker, let's say, Charles. His content was excellent. How are his demos? Yeah, excellent. Knowledge? Yeah, excellent. Overall, oh, go on then, right, 5. So when I click add, what do we expect to happen?
Push it back to the list.
Should push it back to the list, right? So click add, and there it is in the actual application. If we go back to the list, just refresh that, and there it is. So with a matter of a few clicks, it's pushed it back into the list. And of course...
Hang on, that took you actually 9 minutes.
Sorry?
9 minutes from end to end.
Did it? And I was talking as well.
I'm impressed. I mean, that's just...
I was talking as well. Yeah. So you saw how easy that was. It's Power Apps, click, create app, go through. And if I go back into the designer now, I'm just going to click out of that. And because I'm paranoid about these things, I'm going to go in here and click save. Because it did change a few things. So this is now saving it back up to the cloud. So if I go back to my browser, go into all items, course evaluations. It now knows about the power up, and click open, and I get just exactly the same experience when it loads, which will be in a second. So I thought the other thing that would be interesting, and in the interest of some time, so yeah, you just have to trust me. So in the interest of time, if we go back to the items here, I thought it would be useful in a similar way. Quite often, just doing this sort of thing is no good. Quite often, you want to alert somebody.
Yep.
So I thought I'd show the flow as well, the flow experience. Now, the flow experience isn't so in line, if you like. So if I go to flow, create a flow, I'm in SharePoint, so it brings back all the templates that are pertinent to SharePoint. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to go select customized email. I could, of course, go through an approval process in much the same way as Chuck did with his, but I'll just do a straight email because it's much simpler. And it brings back the template, and hopefully I've already got all the connections wired up, which I have. Click continue. That's what, two clicks, three clicks, something like that. It fills this with a bunch of default data. So that's obviously the list and where I'm caring about the new item being created. It's getting my details from my profile, and it's sending an email. I'll just leave this as it is because it's just actually pretty good. And I'll leave the title as it is. Create the flow. Done. Go back here. So I've now created my flow. If I go into manage, there's my flow. I can enable and disable it. I can go in here and see what runs there are. There aren't any runs at the moment, of course, because I've not created an item. So why don't I go ahead and do that? So I'll go back into my app. I'll just run it directly from here. Well, add a new one. I'll choose architecture. Architect yourself. I'll choose me as the speaker this time. I'll
10.
Let's
mate.
Let's all right. We'll do that just to prove that it works. Click evaluations. Click the plus. There it is. And obviously, I can go in here and I can view them as well. So again, this is just the standard, off the block, three-page app or three-screen app, right? So it's standard dialogue. I can delete. I can edit. You know, maybe I was being a little bit harsh on myself. So the content was three. So and it's updated. It's a three. And again, I could change the layout and so on and so forth. And I think it's quite interesting. I won't go all the way through this, but you can also do things like choose a particular item that you want. And I could maybe have that displayed as a rating instead. Quite a nice thing to do. But I'll leave it as a text at the moment. So, of course, I would hope that it's going to send an email. Okay, right. Now, there is a polling process, so it's not immediate. So, fingers crossed. If I go in here and I go, running, is there anything running? No.
Fingers crossed. Where's the confidence?
Okay, right. So it's not run yet, I don't think. So if we go in here, so I still don't have it. So though, I guess we'll look back at that in a couple of minutes, and just prove that it worked. So I'll hand back to you, I guess, and we'll come back to that because it will take a while. Probably. Come on.
Oh, there are no runs. Okay, so it's still queuing up.
Yeah, it's because it polls, it's got to wait. There are no failures, so it'll come back. But how easy was that? So
that's good.
Good.
All right, guys, we've got 15 minutes left. We're actually going to leave this screen up. I didn't cheat you out of a slide deck. I only showed you one slide, but if you actually look at the downloads, I think there's 50 slides that we actually put together for this presentation, walking you through all of what's new, what's coming. Let's talk about what are the couple big things that are with what's new coming for Microsoft Flow and Power Apps. Right off the bat, the editing experience themselves, when we're actually typing in those properties, it's pretty persnickety. You need to get it pretty close to being right. And if you also want to start putting in big JSON packets, it gets tough. So I'm using Visual Studio Code. That's not the vision for this application. We are actually finishing the editing experience for those formula bars themselves. That's number one. Number two, I'm a Power BI guy. I want to actually be able to initiate just like what Martin did in SharePoint, but I want to do it from Power BI. We're actually improving the embedding experience where I can actually go out and put Power BI reports into Power Apps and put my Power App back into a Power BI dashboard. I said that very intentionally. It's a dashboard, not reports. So that's the work that we've got in our backlog. The other big, big one that I'm looking forward to is, there it is. Very, very cool. We're going to go out and add the ability, you can do custom APIs to any REST endpoint, and you use a Swagger file. Right now, creating a Swagger file, I already gave you a shirt so you don't get another one, is not an easy, what would be the euphemism for that? Suboptimal experience is actually what we've actually already got checked in and going through deployment right now. You're going to probably see it next week, is if you can give us a JSON or the curl definition from apioperi.io, we'll actually create the Swagger file for you. I've looked all over the place. It doesn't exist anywhere else from what I can see. So you can actually use that everywhere. Swagger is going to be the big thing on how you actually call REST endpoints. So there are 13 other things that are also coming that are in that slide deck, but I wanted to hit the big ones that are actually close and near and dear to my heart. I actually have one more shirt. But we're going to call this a close at this point and a couple of bottle openers. If you've got questions for me and Martin, I want you to round back up. Otherwise, I want to thank you very much for coming to Ignite. On behalf of Martin, give him a big round of applause for helping me out.